I'm in a big rush to get to Gan Eden, so we're going to get to Gan Eden. All right, so let's take a look. So we're in source number one. So going in the order, I just want to mention, because somebody mentioned it to me, one of the past classes, which was that there. If you notice, there are different orders, different editions of Perek Shira have different sequences to the items that are mentioned. So I'm going ahead and quoting to you from the, I guess, you know, majority approach in terms of Perek Shira. But if you ever come across a version of Perek Shira and the order is not following what we're doing here in class, it's not because we're going out of order, it's just because there are different orders. So we come to Gan Eden. So in Gan Eden, we write the Perek Shira says as follows. Close to Pasuk from Shira Shirim. Uri Tzafon Uvoi Seimon. Hafichi Gani Yizlu Bisamov Yavo Dodi Legano. So Gan Eden says, literally translated, Uri Tzafon, literally wake up or arouse yourself, O north wind, Uboi Seimon, come south. Hafichi Gani, blow upon my garden, Yizlu Bisamov, let the spices flow out, Yovo Dodi Legano, let my beloved come to his garden, V'yochal Pri Megadav, and eat of its precious fruit. The pasuk in its entirety is quoted in number 2, Perek Dalid, pasuk Tes Zayin in Shir Hashirim. What does the pasuk mean? Good. Like most of Shir Hashirim, it somehow is difficult to understand what exactly is being conveyed. Remember, Shir Hashirim is an incredible work in the beautiful metaphor of the love song between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. The challenge with Shir HaShirim is what? What's the great challenge? I'm sorry?
It's very poetic.
So in general, things that are poetic sometimes are difficult to comprehend. Good. What else is confusing about Shir HaShirim? Who's the man and who's the woman in Shir HaShirim? I'm sorry? HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yisrael. Good. Who's the man and who's the woman? Hashem is the man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the woman. Everybody agree with that? Right, so the problem with Shir HaShirim is that it switches. It switches. You know, the Zohar brings down this concept that the Shechina itself is sometimes referred to as Duchra and sometimes as Nukva. Sometimes the Shechina, the Ribbono Shel Olam, is referred to as Zohar, male. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately, again, is referred to as female. Depending on which qualities of the Ribbono Shel Olam are being highlighted. So again, often when there's a demonstration of strength, it's often male. Compassion, empathy, love, often female. So Shir HaShirim really sets the stage for this idea. Because in Shir HaShirim, and part of the reason why it's so complicated is because sometimes, again, Klal Yisrael is the woman and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the man. And sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the man and the Klal Yisrael is... So again, so often when it comes to Shir HaShirim, so even in a pasuk like this, Uri Tzafon Uva'o Seymar Athlichi Gani Yizlu B'samav Yavo Dodi Legano V'yachal Pri Megadav. Who's the Dodi? Who's the beloved? Who's coming to the garden? Is it HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is it Klal Yisrael? So we'll put that on pause for just a little bit. So now we're talking about Gan Eden. So let's spend a little bit of time. The great part about Gan Eden is we have biblical context that we could refer to. So take a look at number 3. So the first time we're introduced to Gan Eden. First time, Vayito Hashem Elokim Gan Be'eden. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remember, beginning of Bereishis, Perek Beis Pasuches, source number 3 on your sheet. The Ribbono Shel Olam planted a garden in Eden, Mikedem, to the east. Vayasem Sham, Esa Adam Asher Yatzar. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do with Adam? Or what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He places Adam there. I'll just point out something very interesting. So here the Torah is describing the creation of Gan Eden. I'll just go on a tangent for just a moment. The Pasuk, when it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Adam Rishon actually went to Gan Eden, it says, Vayikach Adam Vayanichehu Began Eden. How would you translate that phrase? Vayikach Adam Vayanichehu Began Eden? He took Adam and he placed him in Gan Eden. Anyone know what does Rashi say in that Pasuk? Vayikach? Excellent. Lakcho Bidvarim. Lakcho Bidvarim. Remember, Rashi is a reactive mefarish, which means that if you really want to understand what Rashi is saying, what do you have to do? Or what do you have to understand? What's bothering Rashi? Rashi doesn't just comment for the sake of commenting. Rashi comments when he sees something that's problematic. When I say problematic, I mean questionable in the pasuk itself. So what does Rashi see? What's problematic in the pasuk? I'm sorry? So what's the question? Right. In other words, you could just say Vayichay Begana. You could just, it doesn't say Vayikach. It doesn't say Vayikach. What else? What else is bothering Rashi? Good. Why do you need the pasuk in its entirety? It already says Vayasam. Good. So what's fascinating about Rashi, in the Maharal, you'll take a look at the Gur Aryeh on this pasuk. The Gur Aryeh says something absolutely amazing. The Gur Aryeh says that when we have the imagery, right, when you think about what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do with Adam? Just Pshuto Shel Mikra. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? What did he do? Good. He made, I'm saying, what did he do in relationship to God, Adam and Gan Eden? What did he do? He put him. So what does put him mean? Pick something up from location A, place it down in location B. Right? He literally put. So Rashi says, no, that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu lakcho bedvarim? The Ribono Shel Olam told Adam how beautiful and how wonderful and how spectacular Gan Eden was. And then what happened? Fill in the blank. Now you come, what's the rest of the story? HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Adam, extols all the virtues of Gan Eden. And what does Adam say? I'd like to go there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, would you like to go? I told you now all about Gan Eden. Would you like to go to Gan Eden? And Adam HaRishon says, yes. And therefore, ultimately, again, Adam goes. What's happening over here? What is the Ribono Shel Olam doing? Why does he have to convince Adam about anything? Why not just say, Adam, get into Gan Eden? Or just lift him up, put him in there. Why lakcho bedvarim? So first of all, he could appreciate it. Excellent. Good. Why else? There's a profound psychological insight here. Oh, excellent. So the Maharal explains so beautifully that Gan Eden is only meaningful if you want to be there. If you want to be there. You know, Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kook explains this dynamic. He says, you know, sometimes a person could be physically present in one location, but their heart and their soul is somewhere else. I'm sure it doesn't happen in this class, but it could happen in other classes, right? Where sometimes you are physically present somewhere, but your mind, right, your heart is mamish somewhere far away. So the Ribono Shel Olam said like this, I could take Adam, lift him up, and put him in Gan Eden, or I could order him, go to Gan Eden, and he'll get to Gan Eden. What's the problem? I'll have what? I'll have his body, but I may not have his soul. The Ribono Shel Olam wanted Adam HaRishon to be bought into the concept of Gan Eden. By the way, it was fascinating about this is, you see, this is Rashi Kidarko. Every single time in the Chumash that there is a lashon of Vayikach, someone taking someone else, Rashi always has the same perish. Lakcho bedvarim. Where else do we find in Chumash Vayikach? By one person taking another? Where else? Moshe. Excellent. Moshe and who? Moshe and Aaron. When it says about Aaron being selected as the Kohen, Gadol, the lashon of the Pasuk also says that Moshe, Vayikach Moshe, by Moshe Rabbeinu took Aaron. And again, Rashi says, Lakcho bedvarim. Lakcho bedvarim. And this, by the way, is just an incredible yesod in life. You know, all of us have to build consensus in different ways. Some people have to build consensus in their families. Some people have to build consensus with a spouse, with friends, with children. Some people have to do it in their careers. You could order people to do things. You could always order. If you have a senior rank or a senior position, you could always order people to do stuff, and they may be forced to comply with your orders. But just understand, you have their physical compliance, but they're not bought in to any real dynamic. And it's an incredible yesod. The Ribono Shel Olam wants Adam to be bought in to Gan Eden. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu wants Aaron to be bought in to the Kahuna Gedola. And to be bought in, what do you have to do? See, getting buy-in takes more time. You have to explain, you have to talk, you have to answer questions, you have to, all these, as opposed to ordering someone to do something, is 1, 2, 3, do it. Why? Because I said so. That's great. You'll get their physical compliance, but you do not get their emotional buy-in. The truth is, this concept is modeled even earlier. Where is the first time that we really see this concept of collaboration? Is that a hand? No. First time of collaboration? Excellent. By where? Nasa Adam Bitzalmenu Kidmusenu. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Beis Dino. Nimlach Beis Dino. Nimlach Beis Dino. The Rosh Hashanah has to ask permission. He has to discuss this with people. He has to run the idea. But no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also understood, look, the Malachim, there's going to be tension. There's going to be tension. Everyone's vying to be that crown jewel of creation. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu realizes, if I get the Malachim on board, how do I get them on board? Was HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally asking their permission? Of course not. But Lamaisi, he spoke to him about it. And incredibly, it's just, this is the beauty of our Torah. The beauty of the Torah is, it's not just that it gives us the mitzvahs and the legal framework and the ethical framework, but these life lessons. How many times people get what they want because they order someone to do something, but had they just taken a little bit more time, the person could have been invested emotionally, spiritually as well. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to order Adam to Gan Eden. He wants Adam to want Gan Eden. Moshe Rabbeinu wants Aaron, to whatever degree possible, to be the Kohen Gadol. So again, also back here, that nothing to do with Parak Shira, just an incredible, incredible Yisod. So the first time we're introduced to Gan Eden, Vayita Hashem Elokim Gan Be'eden Mikedem, Vayosem Sham Esa Adam Hashayaz. Cheshbon creates Gan Eden. See, interestingly enough, I just want to point out, just fast, we call it, you know, Gan Eden. But of course, the Torah tells us that really it's Gan Be'eden. Eden was a much larger area, and the Gan apparently was a specific area in Gan Eden. Now, the truth is, a lot of, yes?
Where was Adam created then?
So excellent. We're going to see a Medrash that talks about this. It appears, according to the Medrash, that he was created in Har HaMoriah. So he was created in Har HaMoriah, where we become Yerushalayim, where we become the Makom Mikdash, which interestingly enough is not Gan Eden. Which is just fascinating. By the way, so where's Gan Eden? So this by itself is also fascinating, because the truth is, generally, when we use Gan Eden, right? We use Gan Eden in what context? Right, afterlife. Right, that's normally, when we speak about Gan Eden, we normally speak about, we often use the terms Olam Haba, Gan Eden, often interchangeably. The Neshama's in Gan Eden. The truth is, clearly, that's not what the Torah is talking about. The Torah is speaking about an actual physical place. In general, it's interesting to see that the terms Gan Eden, Olam Haba, Yemos HaMashiach, often there's overlapping terms used for all of the. For example, according to the Rambam, according to many, Olam Haba does not refer to the afterlife. Olam Haba refers to Yemos HaMashiach. So I'll tell you something interesting, though. The Gemara Maseches Brachos says something quite fascinating. The Gemara Maseches Brachos writes, you know, there's a halachas of Iker V'Tafel. You familiar with these halachas with Brachos? So what's the halacha of Iker V'Tafel? You have two food items, right? And you want, one is primary, one is secondary. So what's the halacha? You make a brach on the primary one, exempt the secondary one. What's an example of Iker V'Tafel? Cereal and milk. Oh, good. Okay, good. Right. Iker V'Tafel, good. So the Gemara, interestingly enough, the Gemara's paradigmatic example of Iker V'Tafel is salty fish with bread. A person has a very salty piece of fish, and the saltiness is too much, so they eat a piece of bread with the fish to blunt the saltiness, even though bread is bread. Right? Nevertheless, because the bread is only being consumed to blunt the saltiness, the fish is ikar, the bread is tafel, yimamish, make a shahakal, and that's it. We don't paskin that way. Mishnah Berurah says today we don't paskin that way. Bread is always ikar. But the Gemara brings another example. The Gemara speaks about the fruit of, I am blanking on the name, right by the Kinneret. No, outside of Tveria. Okay, it'll come to me. The Gemara speaks about the fruit. I can't believe I'm forgetting. The fruit of a particular place. It's on the way up north to Eretz Yisrael, to the Kinneret. Okay, it'll come to me. This place had exceptionally sweet fruit. So the Gemara speaks about you can't eat the fruit by themselves. You need a piece of bread to blunt the sweetness of the fruit. So again, the Gemara uses that as an example of Iker V'Tafel. Same idea. This fruit is primary, bread is secondary. Make a bracha on the fruit. So the Gemara says, by the way, why the fruit of this place so sweet? What's the pshat that they're so sweet? So the Gemara says, because this particular place in Eretz Yisrael was opposite the entranceway to Gan Eden. Now, what does that mean? Is that Gan Eden in Shamayim? Is that Gan Eden? So again, I just want to point out that when we speak about Gan Eden, at least contemporarily, often what we're referring to is not abundantly clear. Some, for example, also call the Messianic era Gan Eden. In any event, when we're focusing on Gan Eden over here, we're clearly talking about Gan Be'eden, which was a geographic place. Kadosh Baruch Hu had this larger area called Eden, and there was a particularly gorgeous place called the Gan, the garden in Eden, and that's where Kadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and places Adam Rishus. Let me ask you a fundamental question. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create Gan Eden? What would you say? You're familiar, all familiar with Tzoyi Bereshis. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create Gan Eden?
For Adam to enjoy.
Okay, what's the problem with that answer? I'm sorry? I mean, it's a correct answer, but what's the hole in it? I'm sorry? So first, all right, it doesn't turn out. So, okay, but that, remember, just because we know the end of the story, it's not fair to project that onto the front of the beginning of the story. Good. What's the problem with saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu created Adam to enjoy? And what? There was the rest of the world. In other words, the world was beautiful. It's not the pshat that the rest of the world was like a dark, dreary place, and Gan Eden was the only nice place. That the whole world was beautiful. The whole world was pristine. And yet, it's not like you could say, well, other parts of the world were ruined by pollution, by this, by that. So there was this one. The world was perfect, pure, and pristine. Yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu still felt compelled to create Gan Eden. Any other thoughts? Why create a Gan Eden? What's the hashkafic meaning of Gan Eden? So think about this for just a moment, and we'll clarify this as we go on. But what the creation of Gan Eden tells you is that there are different states of existence in this world. There's regular world, and there's Gan Eden world. So now, what do you think the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to give us? What do you think? I'll give you a hint, it's what I just said. That there are different stages of existence in this world. You see, on a most basic level, without a Gan Eden, you would have thought there's life and there's death. And life, everybody's, you know, kind of on the same level. And then there's death. And whatever happens in death, happens in death. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a Gan Eden. What he shows is that even in the dynamic of the human condition, there are different levels. There are different places. There are different stages. That just like Gan Eden was a different geographic location, there are different levels in life. There's regular life. There's Gan Eden life. There's sanctified life. And there's unholy life. There's accomplishment. And there's failure. It's not just a pshat that all of life is on the same level. There are gradations. And this is incredibly important. Because remember, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world, what's the great unknown? HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates Adam, and ultimately Chava. What's the great unknown? Think about this. You're reading Bereshit's story for the first time. You don't know how anything ends or what's going on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates Adam and Chava. What's your million-dollar question? Why? Why? Like, what? It's great. It's an exciting story. Wonderful creations. Why? Why are Adam and Chava created? Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes on and clarifies. We spoke about this before in our previous class about the Kivshua, different things like this. But the why is unknown, right? And by the way, isn't it incredible? What's the most fundamental question that we grapple with, some of us, each and every day? It's always, why, right? What am I doing here? Right? As the Ramchal says, Macho Vaso Ba'olamo. Well, what am I doing here? Like, what is my purpose? Adam and Chava created into a beautiful new world, and it's not abundantly clear. Like, okay, great, Mazel Tov on your birth and creation. What's your job? What are you supposed to be doing here? And this is the existential angst that many of us live with every single day. What am I doing here? Like, how is my life purposeful? What am I doing? to justify my existence, or am I just somehow taking up space? So now, interestingly enough, if you look at number four, HaKadosh Baruch Hu very quickly answers this question. Vayikach Hashem Elokim es Ha'adam. See here, that's the Vayikach that we spoke about before. Vayanicheyo began Eden li'avda u'lishamra. So now the Torah tells us something very interesting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts Adam in Gan Eden. And why is he put in Gan Eden? Why is he put in there? Two words. Lavda meaning? To work. L'shamra. To guard it. What is love? So just your own reactions to this. What do you think Avda and Shamra means? Your own reflections. Avda. To work the land. Good. What else could it mean? To be subservient. Maybe Avda is ultimately, again, not the land, but maybe himself. Maybe himself good. The Shamra. Guard it. Guard it against what? Outside forces. Although, what's the problem with that? Not really too many outside forces those days. Good. But hold on to that. We'll see. So I want to... I'm sorry? The Yetzer Hara was an outside force. Okay, what's the problem with that approach? Is that really correct? Was the Yetzer Hara an outside... Think about this. Was the Yetzer Hara really an outside force? But I'm saying if the Yetzer Hara was an outside force, then what should have never occurred? The Chet. So first of all, we're going to talk about this. So what's your scene outside and inside? Oh, outside Adam or outside Gan Eden?
Yeah, outside Adam.
Outside Adam. Good. Okay. We're gonna talk about that. We're gonna talk about that. Good. Because this idea of maybe so you want to say just maybe Shamra means from the Yetzer Hara. Good. 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 Excellent answer. Good. All right, so we'll discuss that as well. So as you could see, the Torah uses very ambiguous lashon li'avda u'lishamra. What does this mean? So I want to show you something amazing. I'm sure you've seen this over your course of learning Bereishis as well, but I want to share with you just the incredible spectrum of Mefarshim on this. So the Ibn Ezra writes, number five, V'tam la'avda la'hashkos hagan. So the Ibn Ezra understands, Pshuto shel mikra. Li'avda means what? What does it mean? La'hashkos hagan? To water the field, to water the garden. U'lishamra. Mikalachayos shalei kansu sham v'yitnefu. And what does the shamra mean? The shamra from what? From what? From the animals. What are we concerned about? The animals? That the animals, again, look at the lashon over here. Shalei kansu sham v'yitnefu. Right? Ever plant a vegetable garden? Right? So what often happens to your vegetable garden if you don't enclose it? Did your animals get it? So therefore, again, so Ibn Ezra says something amazing. What's Adam Harishon's job in Gan Eden? Li'avda, you've got to work the field. You have to water the gan. You have to water the plants and protect the vegetation from animals coming in. Remember again, it's not that Adam has to protect himself from animals. Remember again, the protection from animals that human beings have to be worried about animals only occurs when? Right, by the Mabul time, right? That's already, or I should say the truth is, after the Chet of Adam HaRishon, that's when it begins, but it really becomes most acute, pre-Mabul, post-Mabul. So Lishomra doesn't mean that Adam has to guard himself from the animals, but rather, again, ultimately he has to guard the Gan. So according to Ibn Ezra, what is the Kadosh Baruch Hu teaching Adam HaRishon and placing him in Gan Eden? I'm sorry? How to be a farmer, good, but what's the message? Yes? Yes? Oh, excellent, excellent, excellent. Right? Isn't working the land part of the punishment of Avodah Zarah? So what's the answer? So it says watering, maybe it's not working. So listen to this, and this is incredibly important. According to the Ibn Ezra, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching Adam HaRishon is, if you want something in life, you must work for it. There is no free lunch. I mean, during Corona, they hand out free lunches. But I'm saying, but aside from that, right? If you want something in life, you have to work for it. If you want something in life, you have to put in the effort. So you want the gun to produce beautiful vegetation, beautiful fruits, beautiful plants for you? Lavda. You have to water it. You have to water the plant. You have to water the ground. You have to work the soil. If you want something out of life, you must be prepared to work. Now remember, why is this an important lesson for Adam HaRishon? Remember, Adam HaRishon was created last, as you all know. Why? What is Rashi always created last? I'm sorry? A little louder, I'm sorry. Beautiful. B'shvili Nivra Olam. Or as Rashi points out, that he should come into a world, K'shulchan Oreich, like a set table. Right? You know, sometimes if a person is doing construction in their home, so it's difficult to live through construction, right? You have to move here. Today you can use this room. Tomorrow you can use that room. This Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't want Adam HaRishon to live through construction. Instead, what he wanted is Adam HaRishon to come into a fully formed world, which is beautiful, but there's a danger. What's the danger in coming into a fully formed world? What's the danger in Bishvili Nivra Olam? What's the danger in that? That a person says, Magiali. You know, I don't have to work. I don't have to work. Whatever it comes to me. Whatever it is, it should come to me. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, no. Adam, I love you. And you are the crown jewel of creation. And I wanted you to come into a world that was fully formed and fully created. But you must work. And if you want something in life, you have to work for it. And there's no such thing as something just materializing. Not because I, Kodesh Baruch Hu, can't create that. Of course I could do that. But that's not the proper Hashkafas HaChaim. The proper Hashkafas HaChaim is if you want something out of life, you must be prepared to work for it. Aye, but what about the question that was mentioned before? Isn't working the land part of the punishment? So what's the answer? Oh, excellent. If you look at the punishment of Adam is not that you're going to work the land. It's kotz v'dardar titzmach. Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Adam, you're going to plant stuff, and what you planted will not grow. You see, in the pre-sin world, what would happen? And this is incredible. In the pre-sin world, what happened? Literally, as they say, you would reap what you would sow. If you put in the effort, the land will give you back the effort. In the post-sin world, what happens? You could put in incredible effort, but yet your efforts may not materialize. Don't we live with this dynamic to this very day? This is not just an agricultural or agrarian reality. This is a life reality. In the pre-sin world, Kadosh Baruch Hu told man, here's the deal. If you put in the effort, you will realize the results. You put it, that's true, by the way, in your land, and that's true in life. In the post-sin world, it doesn't always work that way. You could plant wheat, and you might get thorns. You might go ahead and put in the effort, but sometimes your effort doesn't always yield what you had hoped it would yield. So this is incredibly important, because according to the Ibn Ezra, work, labor, physical exertion was always part of the plan. It was never just something that came ex post facto, right? It's not just that Adam sinned, right? He was going to be, really before he sinned, he was sitting on a lounge chair drinking, you know, from a cup with a little umbrella in it, and life was good, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of everything. Now he said, now you have to work. No. Work, avdah, was always part of the plan. And it makes sense. It's the Adam la'amal yulad idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the most important lesson in life is that if you want something, you must be willing to work for it. Now remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching this to Adam in the Olam HaGashmi, physical labor. But as we're going to see, it's the same thing. It's the same thing in the Olam HaRuchni. Sorry. In the spiritual world as well. If you want spiritual accomplishment, if you want to be spiritually great, La'avdah requires work. Nothing in life that you want results from is accomplished without work. So that's the Ibn Ezra. So Ibn Ezra understands this on a very literal, physical level. Li'avda ulish shamra. Adam HaRishon is put in the gun to work the land, specifically to water the land, and to ultimately guard it from all of the chayos, that the chayos should not come in and go ahead and destroy it. Now, by the way, so if the first part of La'avda is to teach you that you have to work on yourself, that if you want something out of life, I can't tell you how incredibly important this is, because so many times, you know, greater society teaches us that the goal is to make everything as easy as possible, right? That's the goal, that there should be an app for everything, and it should just be one touch. And if, you know, if it's 4G is too slow, we'll go to 5G, we'll go to, and of course that's beautiful. It's good to make life easier, but it's always important to understand that anything meaningful you're ever going to want out of life is going to go ahead and take incredible work. This is the ultimate yesod of life. It's true in every single area. It's true in your gashmias. It's true in your ruchnias. It's true in your relationships. This is incredibly important. You know, I'll just as an aside, I always find it very interesting that sometimes when people on the parasha of Shiduchim and they go ahead and they go out a couple of times and they're very distressed that they don't know if they want to marry the person or not. So the truth is, marriage is one of the biggest decisions you're going to make in your life. And sometimes there's an avdah. And the avdah in marriage is, or in creating a relationship, is that sometimes you have to take a little bit longer to get to know someone. So a person shouldn't be frustrated that after one, two, three, person doesn't know. Most people don't know. That's the avdah. Anything that's meaningful in life takes time to work it through. Anything that's not meaningful, right? Meaning, if a person decides what they want to wear in the morning, I'm not chas v'shalom saying it's not a meaningful thing. But I'm saying it's not the most meaningful thing. And therefore, again, I can make it I can make that decision relatively quickly. What I want to eat for lunch, I can make it relatively quickly. Those are important. They're important, but they're not like dvarim ha'omdim berumo shel olam. So because of that, they could be made with relative ease, very little avoda. But anything that is incredibly important requires avoda. That was the message. So what's the message of Lashomra? What's the hashkafa then of Lashomra? What is Kadosh Baruch Hu trying to teach us? Remember, according to Ibn Ezra, Shomra means what? Keep the animals out. So what's the hashkafa? What's the message of that? I'm sorry? Outside influences. This idea that in life, and this is so incredibly important, it is not enough just to put in the positive dynamic activity, but you must also make sure to keep the chayas out of the gan. You must also make sure at the end of the day to make sure that you don't allow negative influences to overrun your gan eden. And this is an incredible yesod, because a person could do, think about this just a moment, person could be doing all of the most incredible avoda, right? I'm working the gan, I'm watering the gan, everything is incredible, such incredible work. But what? I leave the gate open. So what happens? I work on the gan for 12 hours a day, and then I leave the gate open. And then what happens when I come back to the gan the next morning? All the vegetation is destroyed. The soil is trampled. Everything is destroyed. Why? Because you didn't keep the chayas out. Now, I'll tell you something very interesting. If you notice, so in the original model, the avodah is li avda or li shamra, right? Put in effort, and also, again, keep out negative influences. It's interesting, in the post-sin world, what's the model? Right, what's the model? Where does our hashkafic model come from, Pasuk? Sor meirav yaseh tov. Interestingly enough, and this is really quite fascinating, in the post-sin world, the order changed. The order changed. In the post-sin world, David HaMelech understands that, no, actually, you have to start with sur meira and then aseh tov. It has to be first l'shamra, and then ultimately again li'avda. It's really incredible. We know how the world changed. Well, we think we know how the world changed after Adam and Chava sinned, but sometimes we don't really understand the full profundity of it. And this is what was mentioned before about Yetzirah being internal, external. So in the perfect world, in the pre-sin world, in the Gan Eden world, there were negative influences as well. There were chayas. There are really bad influences in the world. And it was Adam's job to keep the chayas out of the gan. But that was not the primary avoda. The primary avoda was li avda. And if you make yourself strong enough, if you work hard enough, then it's almost like de facto ula shamra. You'll keep out the negative influences. In the post-sin world, that's not the way it works. It's surmeira. The first real step in life, in we'll call it, you know, comprehensive personalistic growth, is Surah Meirah. You have to keep the chayas out. You have to keep the chayas out. You have to keep the negativity out. I have to distance myself from the things which undermine my quest for spiritual or, for that matter, material success. I have to push those things aside. Once I create, so to speak, a safe space for growth, then ultimately, again, the aseh tov is meaningful. So just a fascinating shift. So this is the... Yes? Right, it's an interesting point. Was the Nachash right? Because I don't know. Did he not have a place in Gan Eden? You want to say maybe Adam didn't do a good job in the Shemira. That's how the Nachash came. I don't know. You know, on the other hand, the Nachash had to be there, because what meaning does life have without a Nachash? Right. The only thing that makes your good choices meaningful choices is because there's a temptation to go in the other way. Right? Without the Nachash, then what's there between man and Malach? Right? Without the Nachash, then where's the success in living? But I don't know. It's an interesting point. Maybe that Chaya was not supposed to be there. I don't know. It's a fascinating question to ponder. So that's the Ibn Ezra. Let me show you one more approach for today. So the Targum Yonason. Actually, if you skip down, you know, Targum Yonason, written by Yonason ben Uziel. Yonason ben Uziel. Who was Yonason ben Uziel's Rebbe? Yonason was Hillel, right? Remember again, the Gemara says, who else was in Yonason ben Uziel's class? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Right? So remember again, in Hillel's Talmidim, the Gemara says, the top of the class was Yonason ben Uziel. Who was on the bottom of the class? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Can you imagine that? So the Gemara says that when Yonason ben Uziel used to learn Torah, there used to be a fire that would ascend from on top of him. That if a bird flew over him when he was learning, the bird would be incinerated. So just, can you imagine this class, right? Can you imagine this chevra? Top of the class, Yonason ben Uziel, but the bottom of the class is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. But there's an incredible lesson, again, not related to Perek Shira. But listen to this. The Gemara says that Yonason ben Uziel, Hillel said that he's going to be Avladoros. That amazingly enough, as much as Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the bottom of the class, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai became the one who saved Klal Yisrael, right? Who saved Klal Yisrael in the aftermath of Korban. So it's just an incredible thing. Sometimes even those who may not be on the top of their class, at the end of the day, may go on to accomplish incredible things. So look at the Targum Yonason, number 7. So Yonason ben Uziel writes as follows. He says, "Vayikach." So I'm sorry. So Targum Yonason, written in Aramaic, right? It was a parish. So Keser Yonason is just the Hebraicized version of Targum Yonason. So we'll just look at the Hebrew instead of reading the Aramaic. So look at number 7. "Vayikach Hashem Elokim es Adam mehar ha'avoda." Makom shenivra misham hamriyah. So somebody asked before, if Adam Arishon was placed in Gan Eden, that means he wasn't created in Gan Eden. If he wasn't created in Gan Eden, then where was he created? So here you see the Targum Yonason writes Har HaMoriah. Hamriyah. Chesh Baruch Hu took him from Har HaMoriah, vayanicheyu begin aso shebe Eden, and he places Adam in Hakadosh Baruch Hu's garden in Eden. Lihios oved batorah. Velishmar mitzvosel. And what was Adam's job in the Gan? Says the Targum Yonason, to do what? Li avdam means what? According to Targum Yonason, oved batorah, which means what? Spiritual toil. Spiritual toil, right? Lishmar to guard the Gan was mitzvosel. So you see the dramatic debate. Right? The dramatic debate that's unfolding over here amongst the Mefarshim. You have the Ibn Ezra understands, li avda means to water the garden. Lishamra, keep the animals out. The Targum Yonason, Yonason ben Uziel, li avda, toil and Torah. Lishamra, to keep the mitzvos. So by the way, what's at the root of this machlokas? What's at the root of this? I'm sorry? Was Gan Eden more physical and spiritual? Good, but I'm saying, what are the... I'm sorry? So that's always an interesting idea, that clearly, again, Adam had something, just like Adam Avinu, just like the others had something. What they had, how they had it, is a big discussion amongst the Farshim. Excellent. But I'm saying, what are they arguing about, like, that gets down to the core of man? Yes. They're talking about?
Like our role.
I'm sorry.
Our role.
our role in this world. This is incredibly important, because what's happening over here is a fundamental dispute about, like we said, machavaso ba'olamo. What is the ikar essence of man in this world? Remember again, Adam Harishon's existence. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu places Adam in Gan Eden, what's the plan? What's the plan with Adam? What was it? Was it a short-term rental, long-term stay? What was the plan? The pashtas forever, right? I'm just saying, like, at the end of the day, right, as much as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, knows how everything is going to play out, but at the end of the day, the goal with Gan Eden was that's where man's gonna be, right? Adam and Chava will be there, they'll raise their kids there, the future generations will be there. That was the goal. I don't know what would happen geographically with the Gan, whatever would happen. So what you see over here unfolding is a fundamental hashkafic dispute about what is the ikar role of man in this world. The Ibn Ezra says the ikar role of man in this world is to work. Now, by the way, to be clear, the working of the Ibn Ezra is not devoid of ruchnius. I want to be clear about that, and we'll bridge this gap in a little bit. But the Ibn Ezra is saying the ikar avoda of man is le'avda or le'shamra. The ikar avoda of man is to work hard to produce results, to work the field, to work on your soul. The ikar avoda of man is to work the field and to guard it from chayos. Yes, there's a metaphorical understanding of that, but there's also just a very real explanation of that. To work the ground, to keep out wild animals from eating vegetation. Targum Yonasan, if you notice, doesn't even understand the words in that way at all. Targum Yonasan understands this as a total spiritual existence. That Adam HaRishon in Gan Eden was a life that was kulo ruchni. What happened? How did he eat? So what's the answer? How did he eat? You can't eat off ruch. You can't eat ruchnius. How did he eat? The trees, whatever it is. Nature provided. So the Targum Yonasan's model is, the world takes good care of you when you go ahead and you fulfill the Ratzon Hashem. So just pointing out, there is this dramatic debate in the opening psukim of Chumash Bereishis about what is the tachlis of man in this world. Because the truth is, Adam HaRishon for us represents what is the tachlis. Again, remember, pretend like you don't know anything about the sin. Nothing about the Eitz Das Tovara. You don't know about it. You're just reading the story. You're learning the Pesukim. Kadosh Baruch Hu plates Adam in Gan Eden. What is Adam doing in Gan Eden? Li Avdal Shamra. Oh, so that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants of us. Li Avdal Shamra. Well, what does the Avdal Shamra mean? Ibn Ezra, work hard and get results. Work hard and get results. Both in the Olam HaGashmi and in the Olam HaRuch, in the material world and in the spiritual world. Targum Yonasan, no, not what it means. It just means work hard in the spiritual world. And if you work hard in the spiritual world, and you learn Torah, toil in Torah, not just learn, but toil in Torah, and ultimately also go ahead and keep mitzvahs, the world, nature, provides for you. So we're going to stop over here for today. We're going to continue with this machlokes, Emir Tashem, on Wednesday, because this is a dramatic machlokes that we struggle with to try to understand the balance with to this very day. And then Emir Tashem will plug you back into Perek Shira. And then I apologize that we left off in the middle of Eretz. We'll go back to the earth, Emir Tashem, on Monday.